Going to be going through a little bit more than the lectionary text for this morning. We'll be traveling a little bit into the 64th chapter as well, so keep your Bibles open during our time of looking in God's Word together. Boy, the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, right? You know, around the church here, that's usually the quietest week of the entire year. I don't know why it is, but no one wants to have a meeting during the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. I think for almost all of us, we're in that post-Christmas recovery mode. Kids, let me ask you, this last week, did you kind of settle down a little bit? Did you take naps in the afternoon, kind of relax a little bit during the week? I know you weren't in school, right? Did you do that? Yeah, no, some of you did, some of you didn't. Okay. You know what a great post-Christmas gift you could give to your parents would be? Chill out. Chill out. They need you to chill out just a little bit. Okay? Yeah, that week. You know, I have found in my experience as a pastor that the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, it really does seem to slow most of us down. When I got up on Monday morning, I noticed always the traffic really begins to build on Devine Avenue about 6 o'clock in the morning during the week, and there was hardly any traffic. Monday, a little bit more on Tuesday, even on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, pretty quiet. That week, this week that we've just been through, the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, for some of us, it's a chance to savor, you know, the blessings that we've enjoyed during the Advent and Christmas season. And that's a real gift from God. And we can do that. So just slow down, kind of collect our thoughts, catch our breath, and think about all the wonderful things that happened, all the wonderful blessings of the season. But we also know that that week between Christmas and New Year's, because it does tend to slow down, for others, it can be a pretty sorrowful time. You know, the pace slows down, and for some, they remember kind of the brokenness that they've experienced in their families, or maybe the absence of loved ones at the Christmas season. That week between Christmas and New Year's, we reflect a little bit on the struggles we faced and maybe some of the failures that we've experienced in the past year. And for those for whom it's a difficult time, a sorrowful time, that week between, you know, Christmas and New Year's often amplifies those sorrows. And as we slow down, those discordant chords in our own lives, in that week between Christmas and New Year's, they tend to hang on. They tend to reverberate within us. This spectrum of experience that takes place that week between Christmas and New Year's, I thought about that a lot this week. It really hit me as I dug into the sermon text for today. The actual lectionary text for this morning is the one that Pastor Jill read. It's Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9, which is a very joyful, a very exuberant text. A text of great praise. But as I dug into it a little bit more, I found out that it's kind of a prelude to what follows in verses 8 through actually the end of chapter 64. And what you find in those verses, in 8 through the end of chapter 64, is an extended lament of both Isaiah and the people of God. So it begins with praise, but it travels the journey of lament. If you look just in verse 8, why don't you look in verse 8 of the text? After God just a verse earlier, in verse 8, God lovingly declares that Israel is his people, and they will be the children who will be true to me. But then if you go down to where the text, the next verse where our reading ended this morning, in verse 10, you find the prophet honestly confessing, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he, meaning God, turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. And that extended lament that takes place through the remainder of chapter 63 and into chapter 64. You hear back and forth this conversation that the people of Israel have with God and God with them. Look in verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 63. Where are your zeal and your might? God's people say to God, your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. And then in the very next two verses, you see faith and despair sitting side by side. In verses 16 and 17 of Isaiah 63, but you are our father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden your hearts so that we do not revere you? Faith and discouragement sitting right next to each other in this text. As this lament continues to unfold in Isaiah 64, you hear the people of God. They cry out to God. They want God to come and save them. They want God to come and save them from their current circumstances of a sorrowful and abandoned people. But also, they want God to come and save them from themselves and their sin that has contributed to the brokenness that they are now so aware of. Let's look in chapter 64. I want to read a few verses beginning in verse 5. This is the people of God declaring back to God, you come to help, to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. The week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, it slows us down just enough to remind us that the journey of faith has its seasons. You know, sometimes that we do. We get to savor the rich blessings of our loving God. And we rejoice in that in this week between. But other times when we slow down, we find that we're struggling through a season of regret or loss or disappointment, much like the children of Israel were in this text today. And so we can pray as they did. Look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. I find it encouraging. I find it encouraging that no matter where we find ourselves this morning, and in a congregation this size, I'm sure we're across the spectrum, that whether we're savoring the blessings of the season and rejoicing in the blessings of God and of celebrating the birth of His Son, or struggling with sorrow, or somewhere in between those two poles, as a follower of Jesus and a citizen of God's kingdom come and coming, Isaiah declares, as the people pray to God, we are still His people, no matter what season we find ourselves in. And knowing that, in this week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we can have confidence that just like for Israel, God will do for them and do for us what He did for them. And that's where I want to draw us back to the beginning of the text this morning. Because remember, what grounds this lament, this extended lament in Isaiah's prophecy, is the character of God that Isaiah speaks of in the first verses of the text this morning, verses 7 through 9. For there, they are reminded by Isaiah that no matter what their experience in their current circumstances would say to them, that their God is still a God who has steadfast love for them. That their God is the same God who has lavished kindnesses upon them. That He is a God who, when we are in distress, enters into our distress and walks with us in His love and His mercy and saves us. And so, as we remember that, we, no matter what our current experience is, no matter where we find ourselves on the spectrum between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we are lifted up by the power and the love of our God. That reality, that empowers us to tell the truth, not only about our experience, which we need to do as we share God's love to others, but also the truth about the God that we serve. And that is what is reflected in verses 7 through 9 of Isaiah 63. And so in faith, we too can declare the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which He is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. And as we walk in those sorrowful places, with confidence knowing that He will deliver us. The epistle lesson for today from Hebrews confirms the extent to which God goes to make that a reality in giving His best gift to us in His Son Jesus. So no matter where you are on this end of the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, as we come to the table this morning, you know the depth of God's love for you. So I invite you, I implore you, if you are savoring the blessings of God, continue to savor His grace at the table. And if you find yourself somewhere else on that spectrum of struggle or sorrow, breathe and take deeply into your being that this good news of the sacrament of His grace, knowing that He would not spare His best gift, but gave His own Son freely, so that we might know His love throughout the spectrum of life's experience. Let's pray together.